Morning, church. So I just have to share real briefly. This morning, I was kind of, blah, and I'm pretty blah to begin with, so it was really bad. But I'm coming down this hallway back here, and a couple of the younger ones that come, Austin and Hazel, were coming down the They were heading into the hallway, and I kind of gave it this, you know, like high fives on each side. Hazel comes running and jumps at me and gives me a hug, and I was like, you know, God, I needed that today. And I don't know why, but that was really cool. And Stacy's like, oh, she doesn't do that with anybody. So I don't know what it is, but yeah. So, but then I had to break her heart, and I didn't have a chocolate donut. She come in and looked at the donuts. I said, you can have any one you want. She looked at them and looked at them. And then pretty soon she said, do you have any chocolate? And it was just funny because she thought, I think a chocolate one was going to appear if she stood there long enough. She was mad. So there will be a chocolate donut, and you high school kids, you stay off the chocolate donut. That's for Hazel. But man, I am blessed because you know that what started out as, I don't know, just an idea. It started with 6 kids and then went to 8 kids. And I don't know last week how many was here because I was not. But this morning there were 13 in that class, in that junior high to high school class. And again, I tell you, they're not learning anything from me. I'm learning a lot from them, and that's a good thing. But it's been a lot of fun. We will be paying out some gift cards next week. And the challenge is still there. If it costs us $300 every month, I don't care. Okay? I don't care. If it gets your kids here on a Sunday morning, I gave them the option this morning that by the end of week next week, I want to know where they want this to go. So there's no conversation, no topic we won't go into. It's up to them at this point. But today we're going to talk about, we're finishing in Sunday school or early mornings, the Israelites leaving Egypt. And, you know, we're at the point where, man, they've been out of slavery for 45 days, and man, they're already complaining. They're already complaining. And today we talked about manna and how it just appeared. And God will always provide what you need. And that's kind of where I'm going today. We're not going to be talking about the Exodus or anything, but the title of the message this morning is Jesus Heals All. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer first. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and I know this is where you want me to go, Lord, but just take me out of the equation, shut my mind down, and just let me be the mouthpiece for what you want to be said, and let the people have ears to hear what you want them to hear. In your name we pray, amen. And I thought about different, this is weird today. I thought about different topics or different titles. The first one I came up with was Jesus, the ultimate multitasker. But then I was like, I don't know. And then so we settled on Jesus Heals All. We're going to be in Mark chapter 1 today. And it's a fairly lengthy passage, but I want to make sure we're touching all the bases. So in Mark, in the beginning of Mark, we know John the Baptist, and then Jesus comes, and then Jesus calls his disciples. So we're in the very infancy of Jesus' beginning, or Jesus' preachings and teachings here. And you know, and it brought me back to, we started softball practice this week, and while I didn't have a full team, I had a whole lot of stuff to get done. And I became so task-driven. And I'll add to that, I added a new coach this year, and he's a six-year varsity coach, and he's a district coach of the year. So I just felt like there was a little more, I need to do better. And he's holding me accountable, and I love it. But we're going to be in verses 21 to 45 today. But Jesus is just starting, just like I started in softball this week, and I had all these things coming at me from different directions. And Jesus, when he's starting here, we'll read, we'll see it. Jesus, we'll start in verse 17. He says, Jesus says, come and follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When they had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. So right after he calls his disciples, here walking down the street, verse 21, they went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. So I want to start right there, because in his very infant stages of his beginnings, people were amazed. Not because he taught because it was the law, but because he taught as one who knew what was going on. This guy was in charge. He had the authority. He was not just a figure. He was someone out there who had the authority, and he showed that, and his persona gave off that. Let's go on. Verse 23, just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So Jesus is 5 minutes into his reign or his teaching, and he's getting called to the rug. Why have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, when I go through my week, do people look at me and say, man, I know who you are. Nope. This guy lived with that kind of pressure every single day. But he did it for all of us. Verse 25. This is probably one of my favorite verses of Scripture. Be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of him. Verse 26, the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. So on his very, and I don't, it's not his first day on the job, but when he just goes out and he names his disciples and he calls them and they come and his disciples are seeing all this for the first time, Jesus says, not today, devil. Get out of this man right now. And what happens? He does. So I always think of this as the disciples. Because, you know, when something amazing happens here on earth, we see it, we witness it, we wonder at its marvel. Can you imagine being those disciples? They just got off the boat with their father. But they did that without hesitation. Because he said, hey, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And the very first thing they see is Jesus pulling, imploring a spirit to leave a man, the devil, to leave the man. I don't know about you, but I'd be pretty impressed by this point. I might have ran at this point, because I'd have probably been pretty fruited out. But again, we go to verse 27. The people were so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with new authority." Authority is the key word in a lot of this passage I want you to understand, because the people knew he had it. He was doing things that were never done before. Let's read on. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. Verse 28, news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. You know, they didn't have radio. They didn't have newspapers at that point. It's not like, so how did the word spread? It was like wildfire. Because of what those first few people saw, it spread throughout the whole region. So here's where we get into Jesus heals all. Verse 29, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed people. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Guys, what I want you to take from this is, in our day and age today, you know, I don't claim to be a healer. That's not me. But I know who is. And we sometimes will lay hands on people and understand that that's not us healing anything or fixing anything. That is us as God's people letting him have it, because we know he can heal it. You ever think what? So I go back to the coaching. Man, by the end of the night Monday, I was just mainly because I had 2 hours of high school practice, and then I had an hour and a half of junior high practice that I stayed for. And just the plethora of different abilities and different things girls can do, I was a little bit overwhelmed. You know, nowhere in the scriptures does it say Jesus was overwhelmed. You know, when a crowd of people come into this house and they're standing in the doorway just to get a look at what's going on, and those disciples stayed right there by his side, and at times we know that they became overwhelmed, but they stuck right by his side. That's where we are today. There are times in our lives when we're overwhelmed. We talked about it with the kids today. There's times in our lives when things just don't go our way. I wish we'd get back to this. And man, if we just had the faith to go seek Jesus out and touch his cloak, instead we turn to other things. You know, we turn to money. We turn to fame. Some of not me personally, because I'm not famous. But the famous people, what do? They throw their fame around. That's going to fail. You know, these NBA players that are, or NFL players that are going so far on their athletic ability, you know, the favorite ones I like to see are the guys that are, when they're 20 years retired, what are they doing? Because so many times those guys with that athletic ability fades away, they didn't have a backup plan. And they fell on vices, they fell on drugs, they fell on alcohol, they fell on gambling, whatever. And now, after making $20 million a year, 10 years later, these guys are flat, broke, and busted. I want us to be more like this and less like that. Because this gives us the roots to survive when other things fail. But Jesus could have been overwhelmed. The disciples could have been overwhelmed. They weren't. But what did Jesus do then? In verse 35, Jesus goes and prays in a solitary place. Let's read there. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they explained, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby village, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So much like Dwayne talked about being recharged, Jesus went to get recharged. He went to where he could pray to his Heavenly Father by himself. And he got recharged. Because man, that all that healing and all that power coming out of Jesus, when you heal, so I'm just guessing, I'm not a healer. So, but when you heal somebody, I'm guessing the power of the Lord comes through you and they're healed. Man, you're zapped. Jesus was healing everybody. So he went to recharge. And I love what he said, much like Dwayne, when he got his little break and got, 10 or 12 hot dogs and a bag of popcorn, Dwayne, right? Got recharged. He said he just ate a little bit, so. But he got recharged and he was ready to go. And Jesus' response here in 38, "Let's go somewhere else to a nearby village so I can preach. That is why I have come." Because Jesus knew, man, if I just go perform all these miracles, I can get people to believe. Okay? Because that's much like these NBA guys. We believe in NBA guys or NFL guys or whatever. But if I don't preach and teach, all they have is miracles that are going to fade. That's why it was important for him to preach. That's why it's important for us to be here on Sunday mornings to hear the scriptures. Because until today, man, I thought, you know, Jesus, he could just go and just heal everybody and life would be good. But he wanted us to learn. He wanted to teach and preach so that we knew the word. And we knew how to take the word out there. Okay? If Jesus just healed people here on Sunday mornings, there'd be no need for us to spread the word, to spread his love, to show his love. But he doesn't. He's out in the world every day because he was here to preach. So they traveled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Verse 40, I like this passage, and this is where we're going to be the rest of the day, just because I can feel this guy with leprosy. I've shared before, it's still bad. I mean, this junk just will not go away. They say it's acne, or I don't know what they're telling me it is. So I'm on like a pill for it, but it's not working. So, leprosy, but what it is spots and boils and nasty all over your body. It hurts. It's painful. It's disgusting to look at. Okay? Leprosy is a problem. This guy was an outcast in society because of his skin condition. A man with leprosy. And the footnote I have, the Greek word traditionally translated leprosy was used for various diseases affecting the skin. So it was gross. Okay? This guy was an eyesore. So he wasn't out in front of the churches because the churches wouldn't let him be. We can't have you out here, right? Let's read on. A man with leprosy, verse 40, came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant, which also means Jesus was filled with compassion. He reached out his hand and touched the man and said, "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." He didn't want this guy going and broadcasting it. The first place he wanted him to go was the priest. Two things I want you to understand about this. This guy was healed because of his faith in this man, because he knew he could do it, and he knew he was the only one that could do it. Okay? But the other thing is that guy was so infested with that stuff that most everybody else just walked away from him. They ignored him. You know, it wasn't like a doctor was trying to heal him or anything. He was on his own. He was desperate. But he turned to Jesus. And I want you to underline verse 41. I want you to underline, "I am willing." Because, guys, no matter what you have going on in your life, your God and Savior is willing. He's already done it. He's already done it. He was so willing. You know, that stuff was easy for Jesus because it was nothing but a little bit of faith and a lot of God's power. Man, that took a whole lot more. That's the God we serve. He willingly went to that cross and suffered, died, bled, and then beat death. But this guy is typical of what we embody as people. Verse 45. Instead of going to show himself to the priest and making sacrifices, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Guys, that's the power of God. Okay? There's a reason Jesus wasn't probably quite ready at that point. Well, because he hadn't taught enough yet. He didn't want to just be the miracle guy. He wanted to preach and teach and form relationships with people. But you know what? That changed. Because then Jesus was like the rock star. He could go nowhere. And I don't know how many Swifties we have. I'm about over Taylor Swift. I like everything she represents, everything she does to her fans and whatever. But man, can we let these two just go date or whatever it is they're doing instead of... But that's what Jesus was. Understand, everywhere he went, somebody was trying to get a piece of him. Somebody was trying to get close to him. And that gets overwhelming. Jesus needed time to recharge so he could preach. And if you keep reading, I'm not going to go through all these, but if you keep reading, there's one more I want to go through quickly. But read all of Mark 2, read all of Mark 3, and you'll see just every different instance that Jesus heals. We're just going to go right to 2 verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. Have we heard that before? There was no room left. There was no room left. He came into the world in a place because there was no room left. He's in the middle of his teaching here, and there's no room left because people want to get close to him. He preached the word to them. Some men came bringing him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. So let's paint that picture. So Jesus was in some building, some location. Everybody knew where he was because there was a big crowd outside. Jesus was just trying to spend some time with his dudes, right? He was just trying to teach his disciples. All of a sudden, the roof opens. Now, I'm not in construction. At that day, those were probably clay roofs. But these people dug through this clay roof to lower this guy down. So let's read what Jesus does. They lowered the mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And here's what I want you to understand. When your sins are forgiven, they're forgiven forever. We still have to take them to him. But he already knew about him when he was hanging on the cross. He already knew what I was going to do this afternoon that I need to go ask forgiveness for. Does that strike anyone else as odd? But that's what he was thinking about when he was hanging there. So these guys, the teachers of the law, they're real piece of work. They were there and saw this, and some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Now I'm going to take you back to verse 27 of chapter 1, when it said that people were so amazed that they asked each other, what is this, a new teaching? And with authority. So that people understood his authority, the teachers of the law had no idea about his authority. Why? Because all they cared about was the law. Okay? And those laws back then, and we haven't really talked about it for a long time, but those laws back then, man, there was a list of, 10,000 laws. If you did this, you got to sacrifice this, 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 and this, turn around sideways, jump upside down. Okay? That's what those guys were concerned about. They were concerned about the people doing their rituals to get forgiven. The crowd was concerned about getting to Jesus to get forgiven. Verse 8, I'm almost done, I promise. Immediately Jesus in his spirit knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So as you're going through your life, if you come up with those people that just don't believe what you're selling them, refer to that. It's written in red. Jesus says, I have the authority. I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Those are all important things. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. And it could have ended right there. Could have ended right there. It didn't. It went on. He healed a bunch of other people. But what I want you to understand is, God doesn't care what ails you. Okay? God doesn't care what the law says ails you. God doesn't care what the doctors say ail you. God doesn't care what your checkbook says ail you. God doesn't care. You know what he's going to do? He's going to fix it. Because his Father gave him the authority to fix it. And if that's not good enough for you, go to the cross. If all those stories in there aren't good enough to prove God's authority, go to the cross. Because at the cross, he beat death. And we serve that God. We serve that guy that cared enough about each and every one of us. We serve that guy that has already beaten everything. There is no problem too big for that God. It doesn't say how long that the paralyzed guy was paralyzed for. But man, he didn't hesitate when God told him to get up, or Jesus told him to get up and walk. What did he do? He got up and walked. He folded up his mat, carried it under his arm, and he left. When a guy with leprosy, Jesus told him, go. That guy was so excited. I understand where he's coming from, because I'm telling you, if I didn't itch all night long, there'd be two people really happy. Me and my wife. Because I wake her up and she's like, will you just go put some lotion on? But I would be so excited to be healed from that. I wouldn't have heard a word Jesus was saying. I would have just known that he's the guy. He's the guy. That's the God we serve. It's the God we serve. as we wrap up, if you have questions about that, God, if you have questions about how to start that relationship with that God, so you know without the beyond the shadow of a doubt where you're gone and that all your sins and all your afflictions are taken care of, come talk to us. If you want prayer for something, you know, understand three of us, whoever's up here, we're not healers. But understand, we know somebody that is. And when you come pray with us, it's we're turning it over to God for you. If you've never made that decision to follow Christ, man, don't wait. Today's a great day for it. If you have prayer concerns or needs, whatever you need, we'll be here. I'm going to close us in prayer, then we'll sing a song of invitation, and we will close up. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you sent your Son, and we thank you that he never became overwhelmed with all that was going on around him. He just recharged. Lord, we know that in any of those situations, he was in control. He knew it before it was happening. Lord, we thank you that in our lives today, our sins are covered. Our problems can be beaten with you, Lord, because of you, Lord. Lord, we just love you. We lift you up and give you all the praise and all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.